Coming up on podcast 1161, the Nikola founder, Trevor Milton, indicted on securities fraud charges. Stick around, I'll tell you more. Also on the podcast today, a Mustang that's possibly a Lincoln. How many EVs Volkswagen want to sell this year? And how many all-electric E-Canter delivery vans have been delivered? Well, good morning, good afternoon, maybe it's a good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, Friday 30th of July today, and a pack show to get through. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. I leave out much more than we put in, and it's still a busy show, so come on, stop waffling, get on with it. We'll start with this incredible story coming out of the Chinese EV maker GAC. Their Aion cars, A-I-O-N is how it's spelt. I say Aion was recently spun off into its own standalone entity, and they've been working with their battery partners on not lithium-ion batteries but graphene-based batteries. Compared to the current fast charging time of pure electric cars, could be 30 minutes, say, for an EV to get to 80% full. The best ones on the market, so Taycan, e-tron GT, the new Hyundais and Kias with the 800-volt systems, about 20 minutes to get 80% full. This graphene-based battery will do it even quicker, and it has a 6C capability. Let me quickly explain. If you're new to the podcast, then the C rate of a battery, the C rate represents the rate at which that battery or that cell will charge and discharge energy. The higher the power, the higher the discharge rate. So 1C means that it's fully charged or fully discharged within 1 hour. So, you know, if you work that through, 2C is 30 minutes, but 10C would be 6 minutes. So this, you know, EV batteries, anywhere between 1 and, you know, 2C rate is very normal. At absolute peak rates, you can get up a little bit higher, but unheard of in the EV world to be having a 6C charge rate and discharge rate. You know, for instance, power tools would be a lot less than 1C. Your mobile phone might be 0.25C or 0.2C for your cell phone. To have a 6C charge and discharge rate is huge. Let me explain why. Because if you put it on a high power charger that operates at, say, 600 amps or something like that, it can be recharged in 8 minutes. And that's not in the lab, that's in a car now. The battery has passed stringent safety tests. They've shot it, they've crushed it. The graphene-based battery technology is industry-leading, but not seen so far in electric cars. It also extends the battery life. And the good news, says Push EV's blog, is that the battery technology is now out of the lab and in real-world production. So the first car we're going to see it in is called the Aion V, and it has the graphene-based battery. The mass production testing phase is now going on, and it's going to certainly lead the EV industry over the next few years in terms of development. Now, they've got two versions of the car, which you can buy. There's the 3C version, which will get to 80% in 16 minutes, which is still insanely fast. Or there's the top 6C version, which will do it in 8 minutes. This EV will charge in 8 minutes. Now, I don't know how long it takes you. I haven't timed it, you know, in real world, to pull into a petrol station, to get out the car, put the nozzle into your car, work out, oh, I mean, diesel, is it going to be this, going to pump it, then walk to the kiosk and pay, maybe grab a snack while you're in there. Like, that's longer than 8 minutes for some people, surely? Well, the 6C version of this uses graphene technology. The 3C version uses a silicon anode. And with a state of charge at 80%, they put some screenshots online of this car charging on a high-powered charger. This car at 80% full, right? It's 80% full, and the screenshot says it's charging at 481 kilowatts. Is this real? Is this a wind-up? This is amazing. It took, in the 4 minutes which this it shows, it took 35 kilowatt hours. It took 35 kilowatt hours in 4 minutes of charging. The average charge rate is 526 kilowatts. I mean, these are silly numbers. I mean, they just need to get the cars into the hands of customers, making some YouTube videos, and we were looking for those, and just, obviously, it's a Chinese car, and just getting this into the real world. I mean, and finding a charger that is, what, a megawatt charger? Or at least megawatt battery storage, to find a charger that can deliver 600 amps. Holy moly. Incredible. Like, there's so much stuff happening in the labs that I never talk about on this podcast because it's in the lab. This car goes into production September. Well, that is just amazing. Fantastic news, and I'll pop a link to the brilliant, as ever, the brilliant Push EVs blog in the show notes. So if you'd like to look at the pictures, the screenshot for yourself, I'll do that. Okay, let's move on. Ford Mustang Mach-E has been spotted in camouflage. Why would you do that? Because the car is already out, but it's not actually a Mustang Mach-E. Looks a bit like it. It's not. Ford Authority think this is the new Lincoln Electric, the first Lincoln Electric that's coming. They'll be fully electric by 2030, but the first EV under the Lincoln brand will be 2022. Ford Authority say that they've captured what appears to be a camo Mach-E, but if you look closely, under the skin, it's a Lincoln. The first EV will launch in time for their 100th anniversary of the brand Lincoln and kick off their push to have half of its global sales be zero emission by the end of the decade. Tesla are next in the news with a new software update. Now, some of the over-the-air updates that Tesla push out are minor, or they happen in the background and don't really improve the user experience, but this one certainly will. You can now watch Disney Plus in your Tesla in the Theater app. So, non-Tesla drivers, there is a section of the software called Theater. In there is Netflix and YouTube and now Disney Plus. So when you're not driving, when the car is stationary, certainly one. We pay for Disney Plus. Obviously, we've got a little fella, so it's just really useful. But it's another brilliant thing to have inside your car when it's in park mode. There's also car wash mode. If you engage car wash mode, it will close all the windows, lock the charge port, disable the windscreen wipers, sentry mode, walk away door locks and the parking sensor chimes. For automatic car washes with conveyor belts, the free roll option shifts the car into neutral and prevents the parking brake from applying if you leave. To access car wash mode, you do control, service, and then it's in there. You can also now enable or disable automatic dimming on your mirrors. You've now got dash cam automatically saving clips whenever your vehicle detects the occurrence of a safety event. Recordings captured are stored and never transmitted to Tesla. To opt in, you need to go to controls, safety, dash cam, and put it on auto. You can now switch between battery percentage and the distance units on your screen. So if you don't see the battery percentage on your screen, but you'd rather see a number of how many miles or kilometers are remaining, you can tap the range display next to the battery icon. There's also Wi-Fi. To remain connected to Wi-Fi when shifting into gear, tap the Wi-Fi icon, then settings, then remain connected. Very useful for drivers who want to use a mobile hotspot in their car. Like, we have one in our car as well, and you know, because obviously we use it for like the iPads and stuff like that. And so if you have a hotspot in your car or you use your phone to tether through, you can keep it turned on and not use the car's connection. Maybe you don't pay for the car's extra connection, for instance. Well, that is a big, big update for Tesla owners to look out for when it finally drops with you. All right, headline story today. Trevor Milton, the founder of Nikola, one-time executive chairman of the hydrogen truck and electric truck startup, was indicted yesterday on securities fraud charges for allegedly lying to investors about their business making commercial trucks powered by hydrogen. He, according to the Wall Street Journal, where this article comes from, he says, the Wall Street Journal says he resigned from the company last September, but is facing two counts of securities fraud and one count of wire fraud. He faces 25 years in prison. Mr. Milton pleaded not guilty to the charges in Manhattan and was released on a $100 million bond. Wall Street Journal says that prosecutors said some of his claims were false and from November 2019 to September 2020 amounted to a scheme to defraud investors, motivated, they say, by wealth and fame. As Nikola's stock price went up, at his peak he was worth for $8.5 billion. In one video, which is very famous, he directed a Nikola employee to use the footage of a truck, which was called the Nikola One, had no batteries, wasn't safe, but they rolled it down a hill to make it look like it was driving under its own steam. And according to the indictment, that is one thing that they will be pursuing him on. Obviously very sad. Now, look, I didn't talk too much about Nikola on this podcast over the years because, you know, not being wise after the event, but, you know, I could clearly see, because they were saying they had all of their own hydrogen technology. Now, this is a startup that came from nowhere, and all of a sudden, they're going to produce all their own hydrogen trucks. They've secured a way to make hydrogen, what was it, 4 times cheaper than anybody else in the world. They got, it was, I think the phrase was, billions and billions and billions and billions of orders. Look, the whole thing seemed so sketchy to me. I never talked about it, and I had plenty of people who I think were Nikola investors would hassle me, would say, look, you're not covering Nikola, you talk about Tesla too much, you don't talk about... I couldn't see anything in this company, so I didn't talk about it. And that's all we'll talk about it now, just to let you know that it's not always as you seem. And that's kind of the job that I try and do for you on this podcast as well. There's a million press releases drop into my inbox about companies going public and SPACs and, you know, the latest investment. And, hey, tell your listeners to invest in this company. No, I'm not doing that because... you know, it's a privilege to have you as the audience here, and it's my job to try and curate this a bit. And, you know, there's certainly podcasts that I listen to myself and EV podcasts out there that I highly rate the people behind them. I think they're very good. But they featured, you know, they had him on, they interviewed him, they gave him loads of oxygen, they really promoted the company, you know, in the name of, well, I want to find out more about this guy. But I just never went down that route because it's hiding to nothing, isn't it? So we'll see what happens with that. You know, when it's all said and done, I'll report it again for you. But until then, no more Nikola. Next on the podcast, we will talk about what Volkswagen need to do to sell more EVs, new Audi e-trons, and some battery news in the UK. Next, we'll talk about Volkswagen's earnings. Did a whole show on Tesla's earnings. There won't be a whole show on Volkswagen's earnings. Why is that, someone's asked me? Well, because, firstly, Tesla is an all-electric vehicle company. And but no, I don't do earnings shows about all EV companies. But in many ways, they are the figurehead in the wider public consciousness of the EV world. And if Tesla does well, EVs do well. And so that's why I focus on their earnings calls. But anyway, VW had theirs. They posted record first half earnings yesterday, and their profit margins have gone up as well. Before special items, their profit was 11.4 billion euros. That's $13.5 billion, exceeding the pre-pandemic levels. So CNBC, half of their sales will be battery electric vehicles by 2030. The German carmaker said in a recent update, 100% of its new vehicles in major markets will be zero emission by 2040. Now, he went, the CEO of the group, Herbert Diess, went on a German chat show called Markus Lanz. I've never heard about that, but he did talk about when EVs start to make sense. And he mentioned grid CO2. When grid CO2 is is less than 300 grams per kilowatt hour, he says that's the boundary where EVs make sense to start charging them off the grid. Germany achieves that on some days, but France is way, way low. France is almost all nuclear, by the way. So their grid CO2, specifically CO2, very, very low. UK has good days, bad days, windy and sunny, etc.
I'm having trouble hearing you.
I didn't say anything to you, Siri. You can just stay where you are. That's why France and the Scandinavian countries as well, very, very low with a lot of hydro and things. And so that's interesting if you're interested in the sort of the energy side of it like I am. Also saying that they will expect to deliver 1 million plug-in vehicles this year and meet their CO2 targets in the EU, so avoiding any fines. And so that's a brilliant bit of news. Fantastic on that. But what about their Chinese numbers, which we talked about recently? He said they need to change their approach in China to selling EVs, of course, the world's largest car market. Poor EV sales for the ID4 in China. Sales are picking up, but he said it requires focus and different approaches as customers for EVs are much younger and different to our usual customer base, he was saying. So opening some more retail stores there to try and get people interested in their EVs in China. Panasonic, of course, very famous for their partnership with Tesla, although that weakened a little bit recently. Panasonic now tying up with Toyota, and but Panasonic had also their earnings, the Q1 profit, soaring 27 times on robust demand for car batteries. The first quarter operating profit surging and beating expectations. Panasonic is a key supplier of the likes of Tesla and have increasingly focused on car batteries, industrial use components, etc. Panasonic is launching a test line in Japan to make Tesla's so-called 4680 cells that Tesla will make themselves, but want other people to make them for them as well, and help up the battery ramp of the 4680 cells made by not only Tesla but Panasonic too. Audi are releasing two more versions of the Q4, or the Q4 e-tron as they call it, with the sales debut now well underway. The Q4 e-tron and the Q4 e-tron Sportback back in April. There's now two more versions. There's a Sportback version of the 40 that's got the longest range in the whole fleet, and there's also a 45 version of the e-tron Quattro. 77 kilowatt hour battery on the Sportback one. It's 150 kilowatt motor on the Quattro. So that starts at €49,000, by the way. So 2,000 more than the normal SUV shape of the 40. If you want that Sportback, that swoopy back, so you get a bit less car and you pay €2,000 more. The 45 e-tron Quattro is, like, think of it as the counterpart to the Skoda Enyaq iV80, if you like. So, big battery again, 77 kilowatt hour battery, all-wheel drive, 412 kilometres or 490 kilometres of range, depending on how you spec the equipment. Next, we'll go to the UK, where planning applications are now submitted for Nissan and their Envision AESC, that's the name of the company, battery partner, to build a new gigafactory in the northeast city of Sunderland. It's going to have 9 gigawatt hour capacity. That's 9 gigawatt hours worth of cells every single year. Part of a £1 billion partnership between Nissan and Sunderland City Council, creating 1,000 jobs in the area. Construction, according to the Sunderland Echo newspaper, beginning next year in 2022, if these plans are approved. Batteries will start being made in 2024 for 100,000 Nissans a year. That's not going to be the Leaf at that number. So maybe the Ariya will also be built in the UK. That's not confirmed, by the way, but maybe other Nissans will be electrified by then, looking at things like the Qashqai, big seller, could be putting batteries even for plug-in hybrids and made here in the UK. Looking at the eCanter, which is a lightweight delivery van. It's not a small panel van, but it's not a big semi-truck. It's delivered more than 250 of them now around the world, and the Daimler Trucks all-electric light-duty truck is in production now. 7.5-ton vehicle, so give you an idea of the size of it. Range of over 100 kilometres, output of 130 kilowatts, so not for mega long distance, but inner city, emission-free deliveries. The Fuso eCanter has just been confirmed as now being operated in 16 different countries: Germany, France, Netherlands, UK, Portugal, Denmark, Ireland, Norway, Finland, Spain, Italy, Austria, Switzerland, US, Japan, and New Zealand. And of course, I think, you know, a lot of, like, this Tesla semi-truck takes up all of the attention in terms of commercial EVs, but there's so many more of them out there, and they are being delivered right now in smaller numbers, I must admit, but I always want to bring you that news to remind you these vehicles are out there and they're being used day in, day out, and saving diesel emissions. Love it. Right. Question of the week with eMobilityNorway.com. So with almost 3,000 supercharging locations now globally and 25,000 stalls, what do you think of Tesla's plan to open up the network to everyone? Email me your thoughts. I'll read them out on Sunday. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Can't wait to hear from you on this one and how it could work for you and also for Tesla owners. How do you feel about it? Patreon is how we fund this podcast. Now, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you might hear the odd advert on this show, and that's also how we get a little bit of ad money in. It's not much, but it does pay the bills and the streaming and etc. But Patreon is how it really, we do fund this podcast, from individuals to companies as well. Thank you to our premium partners: Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK, and emobilitynorway.com. Have a good one. I'll see you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.